Can you go to my Muhammad's and we'll start this shir tonight, and we'll start to slightly corona signs. We're going to see, we're going to get that time corona signs. So let's see. Here's the shayla, and it's not a corona shayla. It took place maybe in the time of the corona period, but it's not a corona shayla. But it will lead us to discuss corona shaylas and work out what the din should be in this case. We have a cousin who's been hired for the Yom HaNoraim, paid quite a lot, a decent amount of money, to be the cousin in a particular Beis Knesset. So he comes to Rosh Hashanah, he starts davening Amelah, he's out there, and suddenly there's a call for Hatzolah. And the cousin stops, the second looks around, and no one's approaching. Obviously, there's no one who's qualified to be Hatzolah over there, and he is Hatzolah. So immediately, he stopped. He then, just to clarify the matter, we're talking about, not a Boruch, as I maybe implied at that time, we're talking about at the time of the middle of the starting, the Chazor Shashat. So look, he's in the middle of Shoresh, just about to start, in the beginning of Shoresh Shashat. He runs for Kach Nefesh, of course. Metapel with the chola, takes a bit of time until the mother ambulance comes. Meantime, the shul has got someone to take over, so to speak. In Hazor Shashat, you can't hang around as long as the chola has been well kept, trained for. And the chazan has to go with the person accompanying him, has to accompany him in the ambulance. Now, shaila is, after everything is done, does he get his payment? He's not there. He's not there the whole of Rosh Hashanah. He hasn't got the heter to come back because he's not in the official capacity of Hatzolah at that stage. So he's stuck in the hospital. He's not there the whole of Rosh Hashanah. And now, is there payment due for his chazon services? Any sum, nothing at all, for what has been done, or hardly anything done? Does he get paid in such circumstances? Does he get paid his wages? That's the shayla on the with want to discover. Want to discover what would be the answer. Now, I'll give you a clue. It'll take us a bit of time to get to the answer. It's not going to be in 1 week or maybe even 2 weeks. Maybe the third week we'll get the answer to this. It's something, factors we have to clarify, discuss, all different scenarios. But what's your first knee-jerk reaction to such a shayla? Does he get his wages or not under those circumstances? What do you think?
No.
I admit I have no idea, but knee-jerk reaction is he should get paid.
Should not get paid? Okay.
He should.
Should get paid. Shmuel says not.
I say he should not get paid.
I should not get paid. Okay, Shmuel says not. Tuli says yes, only because of knee-jerk reactions, nothing to be based on at all. Yeah, that's obviously, we'll take into account what you're saying, and we'll, maybe you can analyze your the person you are and where you're coming from for such reactions. Okay, so that's a good route basis to say anything. Okay, so let's go back to our Mama Comas and start analyzing certain subjects which will give us information which we can get discussion over this. So, first, I would say, because no one gave never gave explanation of what they said, I would first appear to say, if you move it down slightly, there is a shach. What does this shach say? The shach says, look, what is a chazan? Chazan is a hired worker. Say hired worker. Now, understand, if you buy something and it's yours, and then something happens to what you bought, min hashamayim, then what you bought, the buyer has to suffer the consequences. He's bought something, min hashamayim, something happened to it, it's not a default and it's be'etzim. So therefore, the buyer, unfortunately, has to suffer the circumstances. Now, let me ask you the question. When you hire a worker, who's the, let's say, if you want to describe them as buyer and seller, who's the buyer and who's the seller in the circumstances of a worker? When you get a worker to do work, who, if you could say it, who would be the buyer and who would be the seller?
The worker's
the
seller.
The worker, Baruch says, is called the seller.
He's selling his services.
Because he's selling services and he's getting paid for it. And the buyer, so to speak, in this case, let's say the chazan is the seller, and then the buyer under these circumstances would be the Beis HaKnesset. That would be the buyer. So let's say, bought him, signed the contract, made a verbal contract, it's also called the contract, started the work. That's called, he's bought him, he hasn't yet paid, obviously, yet, but he's actually bought him. And now he can't perform his services. Now, was it a default be'etzim in what he is and what his services are that you can say mekach tos and therefore I don't need to pay because it's 40 from the beginning? Or is this a min hashamayim event that happens after, so to speak, you bought it? What would you describe our case? A min hashamayim event or something 40 intrinsically in the item, which is this case the services of the chazan, was 40 from the beginning, which doesn't deserve payment because it's a mekach tos. What would you say under the circumstances in those two options in front of us? What would you describe what happened?
Min
hashamayim. So therefore, let's put the equation together. You, the basic lesson, hired the chazan. Hired the chazan, let's say, if we can say it, means he bought the chazan. Bought the chazan, after already the transaction took place, something blew up and destroyed the item that you bought. Min hashamayim. So of course, once you bought it, and it's nothing to do with the item being defaulted, have any defaults in it. So obviously the buyer has to suffer any consequences and he would have to pay, even if he hasn't paid, in some circumstances. So therefore we would say, would the Beis HaKnesset have to pay under the equation which I'm building? Would the Beis HaKnesset have to pay or not have to pay?
I'm sorry, I came in a little late. Can you just say what the problem was, why he couldn't be the chazan again?
It couldn't be the chazan is because in the mid, just as he was starting Hazal Shashat, there was a cry out for Hatsola. He looked around, no one there was Hatsola, and he came to save the guy's life, and he had to go in the ambulance, and they got a replacement for the davening, and he could come back because of Shabbos reasons, he's not officially in Hatsola. Normally Hatsola is allowed to come back, but he's not in the official duty at that stage, so he's not allowed to come back to save one of his life, so he can't be the chazan, and he wants to get paid. So if we make this equation, that he's bought something, the Beis HaKnesset bought him, and then min hashamayim, what they bought can't be used, what would we say? You said the Beis HaKnesset would have to pay or not have to pay. What would you say?
Yes.
Well, there's a difference.
Okay, before you give your difference, let's give the answer, and then we'll give your difference, Matis.
So I'd say the Beis HaKnesset does not have to pay.
Okay. What, according to the equation, I'm saying?
According to the equation,
does not have to pay.
Not have to pay?
Yeah, because they're not equal. They're not the same case.
Fine. Matis, let me go to the rules of how we do this year again. Okay. I want an answer, which I'm trying to squeeze out of you, and then you can argue. That's how you look. Because that's beneficial for everybody. So then I know that everyone understands. There's a technical thing, Matis. So what would I, trying to squeeze out of you, would want you to say according to the equation which I'm putting out, what would it be in uniform?
Sure should pay.
Sure has to pay.
He has to pay. Come on, Matis agrees. He has to pay. Matis agrees. Okay. Matis, you don't need to ask you anything now because you agreed to it. Okay, so Matis is now going to explain why the equation is not wrong and they don't need to pay for some reason. Yeah. Okay. No matters.
Okay, because by the case of the buyer, it's the problem of the buyer after the goods were delivered to him. In our case, the services were never delivered.
So you're saying with services, it blew up in the possession of the seller, not in the possession of the buyer. Right. That's what you're trying to say. Okay. Yes. Okay, that is a discussion. That is a bit of a discussion. Or maybe we'll analyze it at some stage, if it's relevant. That's what I'm saying. If it's relevant, we'll kind of have to analyze that. It's not so poshut whether have goods been delivered and it's taking place like after once it's been delivered, or like Martins is saying, it hasn't yet been delivered. Okay, that's not a poshut thing. If it's relevant, if the equation is true, and then it's relevant, then Shiloh will analyze it that stage. Yes? So, what do you want to say?
The other kasha on equating the two is that Lav Dafka is hiring someone to provide services considered a kinyan, right. like a buying and selling situation of mekoktos and all those kinds of things. The halakhas may not apply at all. It'd be a whole different set of
rules. So maybe the whole equation to compare doesn't make sense. Okay, so we'll go straight back to our Marmakomis because that is very relevant to the immediate Marmakomis and see if Tuli's correct. What does the Shach say? So the Shach says, when he's talking about hiring workers, he says, if we go slightly down, Tuli, just move it slightly down. Yeah. So we can see the two pictures and see how the Shach is speaking. He says, Alva Be'emes, the fear study, in my humble opinion, says the Shach, Gabi Paul, when you're talking about hiring services from a worker, B'chol inyan menakele. When anything happens, you have to cut off. You don't have to pay for things which you haven't received. Even if the work is in the process of being done and something happens, unless you don't need to pay for what you haven't received. Why? Because it's a worker is not a slave. If you'll be a slave, then you actually do call an Eved Ivri, you bought him. You bought him. It's now yours. Something happens. The buyer has to suffer the consequences of whatever the Eved Ivri can't work. It's his fault. Nothing to do with Eved Ivri. Doesn't need to work another 6 years to make up the 3 years he was in bed. Okay, another 3 years to make up the 3 years he was in bed. You don't need to do that because you bought him. And after you bought something happened in the survival, then you lost. You lost. Kesef Shtach was okay. How do you buy him? Money Shtach was okay. That's how you buy him, like a piece of kaka. But in Kohecha Zahara Vishusha Dabarachala, because he gets ill in under the possession of the buyer. That's my evidence. But a pole is not an evidence. So you look at the two pictures on the right hand side, you're talking about Avotim, then that's like a piece of furniture, so to speak. We can even say that by human being. But in halachas of kinyonim, it's like a piece of furniture. And therefore, once you actually bought it, you actually bought here the human being called the Eved, and therefore, anything happens, the buyer, beware, he's lost. But in the second case, if you see over there, when you got something, you hired a ganelet to work, you work for you, you hired a ganelet to work for, and she can't now perform the services because of an onus that happens. She's got under bidud. The Shvata Briot says she can't perform it. Therefore, we say, does she get payments? Do we call it that she's already starting to work and it's therefore now whoever has to suffer the consequences? Says according to the Shach, no, you don't need to pay for her services because you haven't bought her. She's just a worker. A worker is not a transaction, not buying. You only pay for what you received and not what you didn't receive. So the Shach says, like Tuli, you can't compare services of a worker as like a buying and selling, and then if once you bought it, then you suffer the consequences. No, services is you pay for services which you receive. And if you didn't receive, you don't pay because you're not buying the person. You're not buying his work. You're not worth buying his hand like you do buying the effort. Okay. So therefore, it seems to be totally correct. If we come back to our cousin case, that we would say that it's, that the cousin, unfortunately, he is in the middle of performing services of chazonis, and now Min HaShamayim, because of an onus, he has to save the person's life and no one else can do it, and he goes away. He wants his payment for services. The answer will be like Tuli suggesting that at this stage, would they have to pay for the services of the chazon before not performed, so to speak? Would they have to pay? Is it like them buying it and then something happens or not? According to what we're saying, based on the Shach, what would be the conclusion? Pay or not pay? What would it be? Not pay.
That's what I said. That's not what Tully said.
No, the svara I just gave as to why that raya is not a good raya.
Not pay.
Tully said to pay originally. I said not pay.
Obviously, it's like Shmuel originally said, and then have Tully, as when he started thinking, then to do with the svaras around, and Tully came with a svara which would agree with Shmuel's sack. Okay, so Tully's changed.
Still holding out hope the final psak will be back to what I originally said. I'm saying at this stage, we don't have a raya from that place.
Okay, fine. The seder, we understand where Tully's coming. Okay, now. So according to the shah, workers are different. You don't pay for them unless whatever they provide. Because you haven't bought them. So now we're going to ask a question, a very difficult question. Not to understand, but a very strong question, I would say, that's the notion. A very strong question on everything that's going around us on this subject, and it needs an answer. And it needs to think to really get this answer, what's going to be the true answer. There's probably a lot of suggestions, but the true answer we need to get. So let's ask the question in the following fashion. If you go back to the Marmokomus, we'll just swing you through the question and let you understand this is a very strong question in the whole thing. Now, if you see over there in that picture, this is Corona period. And here's our first, maybe Corona Shaila, which we're going to go deep into. Now, we said if a Ganelit is personally put into bidud, of course she hasn't had contact with somebody, and now she personally has to close down her gun. The seder, according to the shach, she won't be paid for the services not provided, again, without any special agreements, unless they made the special agreements at the beginning, which our gabbenets are doing nowadays. So they wouldn't have to pay for services which haven't been provided. Not fine. Now, go to now our Corona Shaila. It's not a personal bidud for the gabbenets, but there's a seger, nationwide seger, which we call in halacha, a maka medina, that says no one in the chinuch fields, at least, is allowed to work, including ganenets. All guns are closed down because a law, makas medina, the concept that says this is it. Now, what's going to be the halacha in that case, where it's not a personal problem to the ganenets, but it's a national problem for all workers that they can never provide their services in the chinuch field? Is it going to change and say over there, or no circumstances, you do need to pay? Are we going to make a difference? Now, obviously, this is a very common shaila for the periods we're actually in. Do the halacha change when it's a personal issue to the government, she can't perform her service, to a nationwide statement that says services can't be provided? Are we going to make a change in halacha under those circumstances? Does he get paid the gun or don't get paid the gun? Obviously, we're not talking about where there's Betuach Lumi that's giving her certain payments under those circumstances, or at least after those payments.
Didn't we say by the hotels that if it was defined as a service, you would not have to pay?
let's run it through. Is there going to be a difference in the opinion for services when it's a national attack on the services being provided? That's the question. Yeah, not try and remember what we said in the shiur, something what you personally would hold. Yeah?
I don't see a difference.
You don't see a difference. And Martin says there should be a difference. Shouldn't be a difference. Mm-hmm. So based on Martin, yes.
Hello? Who? Yeah, I have
Danny,
a problem.
You want to say something?
Yeah. And now the Corona issue is a little bit different, because even though it's they're being forced to close on a national level, the problem, the intrinsic problem, is really coming from both sides, the Ganenet side and the kids side, because the kids are infecting each other. So it's also from the point of view of the kids. So it's a little bit more complicated. I don't know if it's a good.
Yeah, that's if there's a personal infection in that gun and therefore it has to close down. We're talking about here, there's nothing wrong with the people in, nor the employee or the employer in this particular case, the Ganelitz are healthy, all the children are healthy, they would like to carry on, but comes along the state and say, Marcus Medina, no service provided, even if you are perfectly happy to provide it and the other side perfectly receive it. What do we see under those circumstances? Pay or not? Is no different.
Here it is. It is different because in a normal situation where the onus is, where only one person can't provide, the other people are interested in the provision, it's different than in the case of the gun. There's a mutual responsibility. The children are mechayev to go and to pay, and the teachers are mechayev to come, and neither one can fulfill either their responsibilities. The parents can't send the children either. The ganenet says, I'm going to be there. She said, let's say she shows up, and she's there, and the parents can't come.
Okay, so Shmuel's saying a good spara. And therefore, what should you say if they're both equally can't provide? So who has to pay? Would you go 50-50 under those circumstances, Shmuel? Yeah, split the loss 50-50. According to Shmuel, yeah, you split 50-50 because they're both equally can't turn up. Yeah, that's what you say.
In the case of the Ganeret, they established a chazakah that they pay her on a monthly basis. And she's due to make whatever 4,000-5,000 shekels a month. And if there's an onus there and they can't send for both sides, then they're stuck with the situation. But if it was just the Ganenit side,
then... Yeah, but I'd say, okay, if it's not just the Ganenit, national, both, you can't provide and you can't turn up. So the law is attacking both parties. So what do you do with the loss? Would you say the loss is shared and you go 50-50 under that sense? Why would you just put the burden on the children?
I don't think they're paying her on an hourly basis or on a daily basis. They're paying
They're paying for
on a monthly basis for her to provide services.
Yeah.
And she is like a pole for not pole on an hourly basis that you're not even provide. She's providing as much as possible.
But I'm not going to pay you 650 shekels to only get 10 days. I'm going to say 650 shekels is for the month of 30 days. Okay, let's go to Marvel Commons. Let's go to Marvel Commons. Joel's got a good star. It's not clear why he's adamant, though, that they should take the loss if it's a joint problem. Let's go to Bob McComas. What did Eric say? He popped up something. Tully, what did he say?
Check, find that. They have to stop the share for that. Hold on. He said, if there is a national law which invalidates contracts, wouldn't that cancel the contracts?
Yes, explain a bit what do you mean, a national law that nullifies a contract. He doesn't make a new contract, he just nullifies it. Okay, if it just knocks, it just says, the law is not saying the contract is over. The law says is that at the same time, you can't provide the services. Doesn't say the contract's over. Contract, what Eric will be talking about is that there be something to do with you're buying something and there's a hurricane that comes. I don't know, there's going to be and that may be a national law that comes out that says whoever bought anything that joint of that period and hasn't gone through will have a national. But here's nothing to do with canceling contracts. You're just saying contract is there, it's valid, just you can't perform and you can't receive. That's all it's saying. So let's go back to Marvin McCombs and see what the Shulchanok says under a national attack on services, who has to suffer? So the Shulchanok says like this. Says that. Says the Ramah. This is the opinion of the Ramah and Maram. Amalamid, there was a teacher. Shagazu Hamoshel Flo Yamd. The law came out that you can't teach. You can't teach. You're providing services to teach. You can't teach. So having Makas Adida, it's a law of the country on everyone. So it's a Makas Adida court. For call answered Abala Bias. The one who has to lose out of that is the one called the Bala Bias, which is the one who's supposed to receive all the services. He gets nothing out of this month. He gets one day out of the month. He has to pay for the whole month because it's a national problem. It's not a personal onus on a personal onus on the Ghanaians. It's a national onus on all Ghanaians. So therefore, everyone has to pay full money for the services which are never received. Okay. Now, maybe the Sora is like Shmuel. That it doesn't sound like that. Doesn't sound like that it's like Shmuel. It could be. It's not Mofa. The Shmuel said, well, because here it's not a problem of the Ghanaian personally. It's not an onus that says you can't. And therefore, it's saying you can't provide and they can't receive. So maybe there's a halachic difference in that. Don't understand why, therefore, if it's a joint problem, you still have to pay. I would say you share, but Shmuel was insistent that you would have to pay. Okay. But it doesn't sound like Shmuel because it doesn't say in this particular law that's been mentioned by the Maharam, it doesn't say there was a law came out that no one can go to the gun, to its close. He stresses the law is that Ganedit, Malamdin, you Malamdin, are not allowed to teach. Everyone else can go to your house, they can sit there and wait for you to teach, but you are not allowed to teach. So it seems to be a law, national, just on the provider of services, not against the receiver, and still it's saying that even though it's on the provider, but since it's national, the receiver has to pay for it even though he didn't get it. That's the pashtas of the reading shul. I'm not saying you can't read like shul, but the pashtas is like that. Yes, Tony.
Maybe, you know, the question is always a question of whose bad mazel is it? Who is a Kaddish Baruch Hu striking, so to speak? So if I would suggest, perhaps based on this, that he's saying that this the person who's supposed to receive the benefit, the services, he's the one, in theory, that is, it's his bad mazel because he can no longer get the service he wanted. He can no longer stay at the hotel. He can no longer go to the God. And therefore, they're the ones whose mazel is the cause of this. And therefore, they're the ones that suffer the loss.
Yeah, but again, you're going with like small factors for it. And I'm trying to stress that for the wording of Shulchanoch is not saying you can't go to the God. You can't turn up. You can go there, sit there, wait for, hey, where's the God in it? We're in your house. What are you doing? And still the law in this particular case of the Shulchanoch, not our law is different. The law that is saying, you Ghanaians can be there, in front of them, but you can't move your mouth, and you can't do any actions, you can't teach. You can do anything you like, but not teach. Okay? So it's a direct attack only on the provider, nothing to the receiver, and it's a national attack on all providers, but nothing to the receivers, and still the receivers has to pay for it. That's what the Pashto's Lashon of the Shulchanoch is. Not exactly like our case, but even in that case, of course, in that case, still you have to pay for everything. So in that case, you have to pay for everything. But the question is, what's the logic behind that? What's the logic behind such a halachic statement? Especially if you make the following mathematics. Go back to the Maamar Komus and you'll see the following mathematics. And then it really is a strong question we're about to ask. So if you go there, and you see over there, the two pictures. Here we're talking about renting a room in a hotel. And renting is like buying. Yeah, if you don't go into that, it's considered services, like Martin's wanted to maybe remember. Renting a room is like buying the room. Yeah. So we've got two cases, which we already discussed. You have the hotel, which had a personal fire, which meant all the members of the hotel could not continue over there and they lost their holiday package because of it. And we would say, and we saw in Shulchanoch, definitely an opinion of the Ramah, that once you bought an item and once you rented the item, which is like buying, and then an onus happens that says this has gone up in flames, what you bought and what you rented, then the one who bought it or rented it already and it's now gone up in flames, who's going to lose? Says the Shulchanoch and Ramah, which we already discussed, the renter and the buyer loses it because once he already bought it, it's his. And now Minas Shamayim has said, you have been attacked and what you bought is now useless. So what you rented is now useless. If you say renting's like buying, which the Ramah does say renting's like buying, so therefore the renters have lost their holiday, they can't, and they have to still pay for it. They still have to pay. But we saw on the left-hand side, when it came to a national tragedy of the Carmel fire that came out, the Shulchan Aruch over there said that if it's a Makas Medina on what you bought and what you rented, if it's a Makas Medina on rented, and that's a national fire that spreads and stops all services or all things that you rented in that area from being used, there it says, well, there you don't need to pay. There you don't need to pay under those circumstances because it's a national problem. Yeah, you don't need to pay. Now, let's make the cheshbon. We're saying when you're buying something or called renting something, if it's personal, the buyer loses out. Because at the day he's bought it already, it's his shemaim. But if it's national, like Makas Medina, the buyer does not lose out. He doesn't need to pay under those circumstances. So is Makas Medina being more lenient on the buyer, or is it coming to be more stringent on the buyer? What do we see from such a halacha that comes out in the renting process? Coming to be more lenient on the buyer or more stringent on the buyer? What is Makas Medina coming to do under those circumstances?
It's different than the two cases we did so far.
I'm talking about specifically renting, and there's a personal problem in the item that's rented min ha-shamayim. We say the buyer loses, but if it's a national problem in the buyer being, in this case, the rental from being used, then the buyer doesn't lose. So therefore, what is national problems coming to do? National problems is a smaller into the lenient or more machmir on the buyer.
More lenient in the case of a buyer or renter.
More lenient on the one who is supposed to get the item. He'd be more lenient on it when it's national. So now the question is obvious. So if it's Makas Medina is a way and a concept to be more lenient, so how come when it comes to services, the Makas Medina is coming to be more stringent? Let's speak it out. By services, if it's a personal onus on the provider of the service, who loses? By a worker who can't provide it for personal reasons, bin Hashamayim, who loses?
The worker.
The worker. And what does the Shulchan Aruch say when it's a national problem? Who loses?
The buyer.
So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is saying when it's services, Makas Medina makes things worse for the buyer. And when it's buying something or getting rent, renting out something, there we say Makas Medina is coming to be more lenient to the buyer. Stira in Shulchan Aruch. Is Makas Medina a logic and slora to make things better off for the buyer or worse off for the buyer? In services, we're saying it's making it worse off for the buyer. In buying and renting something, we're saying it's making it more lenient for the buyer. How can it be? Either you say it's a logic in leniency or stringency. You can't say both. It's a steer. That is the huge question all the Achronim ask. That what's going on? Is it steer in Shulchan Aruch? Steer in Shulchan Aruch. Makas Medina, how do you understand Makas Medina? Good for the buyer or bad for the buyer?
Maybe these services are different because it's dealing with Talmud Torah. Maybe it's there.
It's what?
It's dealing with Talmud Torah. And so although normally we would be making on him, but we want to encourage Torah, so therefore...
So Baruch is saying maybe Makas Medina is always to make it lenient, but in the particular case of the Shulchan, he's talking about Talmud Torah, and therefore, special halacha Talmud Torah, we want you to pay even if it's a reason to be more lenient, we still want you to pay. That's what Baruch says, a special halacha Talmud Torah. He doesn't say that in Shulchan. Shulchan says Malamed. Okay, what's in Malamed? Pashtus, you're saying Torah is Malamed. Say that you want to say Torah. But doesn't it say it's a special svar? It doesn't say, well, because it's Talmud Torah, that's why you have to pay. It says because it's a Makas Medina, that's why you have to pay. No, Makas Medina is not the reason why you're paying. According to Baruch, the reason why I'm paying is, well, actually, Makas Medina is the reason why you should pay. But the reason why you're paying, well, according to Baruch, if he's correct, would be because it's Torah. It doesn't say that Shulchan Aruch. It says because it's Makas Medina, that's why you don't pay. So that means the saying Makas Medina is a reason Makas Medina is a reason to be more stringent that you do pay in such a case. The reason why you're paying for the Malamed is not because it's Torah. It's a reason is because it's Makas Medina, and Makas Medina intrinsically is making you halachically have to pay. But that's not true when it comes to renting. Makas Medina says, say, don't pay. So what does Makas Medina do? Makas Medina says, pay or not pay? One place it says pay, another place it says not pay. Stira.
Maybe Makas Medina is coming to say that whoever has the goods suffers the loss. So therefore, in the case of buying metalin or buying a product or renting something, so you haven't gotten it yet. You haven't the buyer hasn't received it yet, and therefore the buyer is off the hook, although the seller is going to lose. By a service, the question is, how do you define, we were thinking up until now, the service is not chal until the service is provided. But what if...
Oh, that was Matz's logic. Firstly, that was Matz's logic, yeah, which you haven't analyzed yet. We went with Tully's logic before. Tully's logic is, you would normally have to pay. But you would normally not have to pay because they're not providing services. But as Dina says, even though you're not getting services, you still have to pay. That was with Tully's logic
before. Simply having a contract when it comes to a service, it's ke'ilu, the buyer's already received the service.
If he's already received it, then even it's a personal owner has to pay.
It's in the buyer's possession.
No.
And therefore the buyer suffers the loss.
If you're saying that he's already got it, he owns it, it's Eber Kanani, it's his, he's already received it, it's his possession, onus is to happen, is always a problem, then it doesn't matter what onus. Personal, Makas Medina, he's going to have to pay. But it's not true. By services, we're saying personal onus, you don't need to pay. But if it's a national onus, you do have to pay. So therefore, it's nothing to do with your relationship, because your relationship is the same. It's to do with what's happened. Personal, don't pay. National, do. So national means you have to pay. National's the story is national is causing to pay. But it's not true. In rental, it's the other way around. Rental, you have to pay when it's personal. When it's national, you don't. So is national coming to make you pay? Or is national coming not? It's a logic in national, not to do with your relationship. Yeah, Eric threw something up. What did Eric say?
He said with services, the person already did work beforehand.
Yeah, but rental, he also received 2 days of rent beforehand. Something he's received and something he hasn't received. In both cases, you received something and you haven't received the rest. And there's different halachas. Okay, it's a strong question, Yeah, to prove this question, just look at the Chazon Ish, which I just haven't yet read inside. He says, what's the logic behind where it's a national fire that you're going to have to pay? Because it's Yeshapash, the Afgab, the Schiris, the even although when you rent something, you bought it. And normally once you bought it, you have to suffer the losses. But we've got a Mishnah that says, in Makas Medina, if there's a national tragedy, then you don't have to pay all the rent. So therefore, in the case of the Carmel fires, you won't have to pay for the rental of the places which now can't be used. Then you don't need to pay. So we see clearly the Chazon Ish is saying the Makas Medina, when it comes to rent, is trying to say to you, now we're going to be lenient on the receiver, and the receiver doesn't need to pay. So if so, it should say the same thing when it's talking about services, not just renting. Makas Medina says, even of course again, if even ready when you bought something, it's yours, and normally it's your tough luck. We say you're off the hook when it's a Makas Medina because it's so strong. If Makas Medina says we want you not to lose for Makas Medina circumstances, then kosher gain when it's services where we already discovered according to the Shach that you haven't bought it, and when it's a personal problem, you don't need to pay. Kosher gain, you shouldn't need to pay when it's a national problem. That's the kosher gain question. Okay, a very strong question.
Maybe here the Makas Medina is the gezeira that you cannot provide your service. That when it's a fire, something that is not, no one's preventing you from taking a hotel. There happens, there's a Makas Medina that a fire takes place, so you can't. But here the gezeira is, the Makas Medina is directly preventing you from doing your service.
Okay, so Baruch is saying a logic that's using the same tools, I would say, as Shmuel, but completely opposite to what Shmuel said, in a way. He's saying, in the case of the fire, it's not actually attacking anyone in the deal. It's just attacking the area, so to speak, and it affects everybody. Whereas the law is attacking the specific deal that's set up. And therefore, that has a different consequence. Now, that means that we're talking about a situation where the fire was you couldn't get to the hotel. Not that the hotel's on fire because of the national fire. Not necessarily true. That's all it says. It says Makas Medina, even if the fire of the Makas Medina, the Karma Mountain, happened to burn up this whole hotel, they're still going to not get their payments. They're still not going to get their payments under the Sefer. So therefore, your tariffs wouldn't cover all circumstances, even though the Shulchan Aruch is saying doesn't make a differentiating whether the fire is just blocking your access or it's actually destroying the item which needs to be used. It doesn't say that. It doesn't matter what scenario it is. You Makas Medina, you're not going to have to pay for that rent. So the tariffs of Baruch is missing from the Shulchan Aruch. So, yeah, nice logic, but it's not, again, it's not written in the Shulchan Aruch. So, let's just start a bit in really trying to get our grips on how we're going to answer this question. We have to really get to understand what exactly is the relationship between the provider of services and the receiver when it comes to employment-employer relationship. What exactly is the relationship over there? Once we understand that, maybe we'll be able to answer all our questions which I have. So let's see the following Shaila, which will help understand what's the relationship. Yeah. Now, if you were with us in the Shir about 8 years ago, that's when we started. We started in Schir's Parent, and we did mention this Shaila then. So let's repeat this Shaila, but it helps us over here understand the relationship. What's the Shaila?
I'm sure everyone remembers.
I'm sure everyone remembers. Yeah, sure. Yeah, the Shaila is like this. Reuven and his family were traveling abroad. And to get to the airport, they hired a taxi. Now, it's very convenient that when you go with a taxi to the airport, you already see Eza Chochom and Nolad. Somebody sees the Nolad's going to see the future. Well, it's a Nolad. That's the Chochom. So the Reuven already thinks, look, in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to fly back. In the middle of the night, so to speak, 4 o'clock in the morning. And therefore, since it's going to be 4 o'clock in the morning, it's good to already arrange a taxi now back. It's cheaper and better and easier, more comfortable. So he talks to the taxi driver and says like this. In 2 weeks' time, on this or this date, we're landing back at 4 o'clock in the morning. We want you to come and pick us up. Be 45 minutes. We want you to be 45 minutes after landing, which means you want you to be at 4:45 in the airport to pick us up on the way on the return journey. So the taxi driver says, yeah, sure, but Reuven says, I have to warn you. He's a chacham, you know what I'm saying? Things can always change with flights, especially long-distance flights. And therefore, before you actually come to the airport, I want you to get information from the airport, exactly where the final landing time is, and whatever the final landing time is, add 45 minutes. So if things have changed, just add 45 minutes. So the taxi driver said, yeah, that's a good idea. I will say that. So that's what happened. Now, 2 weeks later, the plane's in the air, taxi driver phones up, and he's told that there's been a delay. Instead, it's not landing at 4 o'clock, it's landing at 4:45. So now he makes the question. 4:45, at 45 minutes, he has to be in the airport, 5:30. So that's where he plans to travel. So he plans to travel to the airport. He goes to the airport, gets the airport 5:30, looks around, can't find them. They're not there. Goes into the airport, and he sees that, he looks at the information board, that in fact, the plane landed on time at 4 o'clock. And not at 4:45, as he was told. He made inquiries, and they said, yeah, the system was faulty, and it gave wrong information. It was never going to land at 4:45. It was always going to land at 4:40. It was never delayed, but you got information, unfortunately, wrong information from our system. It was faulty at the time. What's happened? The family came at 4 o'clock. They came at 4:45, and they looked around, waited till 5:55. No one's there. No one's over there. The person's not picking up the phone, not getting through to the phone. And they said, look, he must have forgotten. And they got somebody else. So now we're in a Basting situation. Do they need to pay for the return journey taxi service or not? There's an onus there. That's definitely an onus that stopped the services being provided. So do he have to pay? Who has to pay in such a scenario when the onus stops the services from being provided? Who has to pay?
Well, this case is a little worse because the guy told him to do that.
And the guy said yes.
Instructions.
And he's not just, he's saying it makes logical, of course. Makes logic sense.
Logical, but that's what he told him to do. So he did what he told him to do. It's not his fault that it didn't work out the way he hoped.
We're not saying it's his fault. It's an
honest. No, but you told him to come to the airport. It's Kilo, he said come to the airport at 5:30. That's what
he said 45 minutes after it lands. Check when it lands. Check when it lands.
He said 45 minutes after they tell you when they land.
Check where it lands either on the computer, check where it lands either phoning up the airport, check where it lands and add 45 minutes. I don't tell you to do this way of checking where it lands.
He knows he isn't a Navi.
Beforehand,
he knows he has to rely on the information he's given. Okay. And so that was incorporated.
There's different ways to get information. You could phone in an abnormal fashion, you could phone up the airport and find the sign up directly from the airport if you want.
Oh, you mean some another outlet would have told him the correct time?
He would have got through to a human being and over there, and even then maybe a human being would have told him the accurate information. And the day was an onus. Yes, no one's at fault. But who pays when no one's at fault for the services not being provided? So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says, and then we'll leave it there after we've seen what the Shulchan Aruch says. And we'll leave you in suspense for next week. That's just what I like to do. So look at the services. Look at the Bar Mokom. It's what the Shulchan Aruch says. In Shin Lamed Dalet, Hasocha Esapo, somebody hires a worker. Lahaskis Hasada, Mizeh Hanah. I want you, look, here's the river. Here's the field. Take the water from the river with your buckets. Go up and down the fields and water it. Okay, fine. And suddenly, after the deal was done, Posakana Bachatsiayon, he was in the middle of doing it. Halfway through the day, he's supposed to work for the whole day. Halfway through the day, the river stops. No more water in the river. So what's going to be the din? He's halfway through the job, but he can't finish the job. Oh, this happens. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im ein hapo yoda derech hana v'balabais yoda nusnes hapo cold water." Okay, if the worker doesn't realize that it's possible for the river to stop, and the balabais does, then of course the balabais is negligent in missing out that information, and therefore he has to pay. But the rule is, b'chol onus she'ir lapo. But if it's an onus that happens that stops the worker from providing the services, whether it's a type of onus that's bound to happen on both sides realize that. Oh, it's a type of onus where both parties don't know. How the state of the law, when it's equal, it's always the worker loses. The only case where the balabais has to pay, if he knows it's possible for something to happen, and the worker doesn't, and the balabais doesn't give that information, then only then the balabais has to pay. So in this case, what would you say? Is it an onus that both can expect? Is it an onus that both can't expect? always an onus where one party realizes it's possible and the other doesn't. What would you say in this particular scenario that what happened over there? What type of onus is it?
They're both in the same case.
Both in the same case. If it's both in the same case, who loses according to the rules of the Chocolat?
The driver.
The driver loses. The worker would lose under those circumstances. That should be my law.
I would say that in this case, the passenger did know that there was a problem because undoubtedly mid-flight they told him there's a delay and then they told him, no, we're landing on time. He should have communicated that.
Making up extra information?
Because that's
he's not making up extra information. He's making up a new story. So what happens? He went on the plane. This Reuben went on the plane. He thinks it's 4 o'clock. Let's say it's 4 o'clock. He takes off at New York, in the middle of the air. And then there's a hitch in the electrical system. Reuben knows about it. He thinks it's possible. It's normal to happen. He doesn't know anything more than the taxi driver. So they're both in the same boat. And an onus comes. Then the one who loses is the worker at this stage of analysis. So that's where we're going to leave you with you that information. But to give you a bit of spice as well for next week, not just information, I'll just introduce you to the next case. And is it the same, different? What's going to be the next case? If you go back tomorrow, my goodness, let's show that picture and explain the next case for a bit of a spicy week. Go on. Think about this. And this is a new case. No one's ever heard this case. And it's a bit in your idioma, and so my sister Hoyen. Would you believe this case could happen? Yes, this happens. Reuven, let's go with Reuven again. What's his job? His job is at election times, is to go around and drive cars with the banners of parties, whoever hires him to advertise their election campaign. Okay. So a certain party hired this Reuven on election day, big day, to go around with all the posters in their car, which they're providing. He goes round and round and round like that. Now, so he comes and he gets in the car and they've already posted the car up. And he starts on his journey. Right, half an hour into his services of the day, the election day. There's a big group in the road, which, so to speak, block up the roads of certain crowd. I wouldn't actually say the crowd, what type of crowd it is, in order that it shouldn't be Echilo Hashem. So they're over there, and they start schmoozing to the guy in the car. Okay, start schmoozing to Reuven, have nice conversations, schmuck speech. About 10 minutes later, he carries on his journey and he goes round and round where he is, what he's supposed to do the whole day. He finally comes back at the end when the polls are closed, the stations are closed, comes back to his base of the party he's working for, and there's absolute shock. Why? All the posters of this particular party have been changed to another party. How did that happen? Then he realized that when he was with these group of people, they had plastered all their posters on top of the car. He never realized. And he was going round and round advertising the wrong party. So now the shine is, does he get paid or does he not get paid under those circumstances?
Or does he have to pay that for the
next week? To think about. So you got your homework in what to think in your head, and you got a bit of a case to enjoy and think of also connect the two. Okay, have a wonderful week. Shmuel Tov. Goodbye to everybody. Lovely seeing you. Enjoyed being with you tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.